book will
now take a little bit of a turn, and we'll be away from some of the prophecies with regard to the nations after this study this morning. We'll begin to deal with a few different subjects as we continue in the book. This is, again, a prophecy with regard to nations, and as in this particular case, a city nation, or a city-state as we would think of it. It deals with Tyre. Zidon is a sister city of Tyre, or Zidon, as it is known in history, was even older than Tyre, but Tyre became a very pronounced and prominent city, and actually a city-state, and it was known throughout the world because of its merchandise. So there'll be things that are said against this particular city that I think will be of interest today, and it'll also help us to understand that God is not afraid to take on the powerful. We live in a world where there is such a thing as people call the movers and the shakers, and sometimes they hold great sway and power, and folks are afraid to take them on, but the Lord is not afraid to take on those that move in the economics of this world. In fact, we'll see that He will bring it to naught at His own good pleasure. So I think there'll be some interesting things to see in this particular chapter. 18 verses. Let's read these 18 verses. We'll come back then and deal with this in an outline form, as we always do. And toward the end of the class, we'll open up the opportunity again to make comments and to ask questions, of course, toward the end of the class. Said, "The burden of Tyre. How, ye ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in from the land of Chittim, it is revealed to them. Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle, thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished. By great waters, the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river, is her revenue, and she is a mart of nations. Be thou ashamed, O Zidon, for the sea hath spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men and bring up virgins. As at the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. Pass ye over to Tarshish. How, ye inhabitants of the isle, is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. Who hath taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth? The Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. Pass through thy land as a river, O daughters of Tarshish. There is no more strength. He stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. And he said, Thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin, daughter of Zidon. Arise, pass over to Chittim. There also shalt thou have no rest. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans, this people was not till the Assyrian founded it. For them that dwelt in the wilderness, they set up the towers thereof, they raised up the palaces thereof, and he brought it to ruin. How, ye ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste, and it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, or according to the years of one king. After the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as an harlot, take a harp, go about the city. Thou harlot that hast been forgotten, make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered. It shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire to commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth, and her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing." Well, this particular city, or as we would refer to it, a city-state, the Phoenicians, as we would look at them,
certainly would divide up, and you'd have various cities that are pronounced and prominent. They would each have their own king or their own leadership. But Tyre takes the prominent place as far as their economy is concerned because of its situation at the sea and in the Mediterranean Sea. It was an excellent port, and therefore the powers that be, the traders of the world, would make their way through here. And literally, as it is spoken of here, that it is a mart for the nations. In other words, it was the trading center of the world. Now, there are various types in the Bible of this world. Egypt is a type of the world, certainly, as we would look at it in its enslavement of Israel and that world system and the lusts of this world that held us before we were saved. Certainly a type there. And then, of course, Babylon speaks of a religious world without the power of God, and demonstrates that which is has a form of godliness but denies the power of it. Then Tyre is the movers and shakers of the world. It's a picture of the world and a system of economics that holds great sway. And so the Lord is speaking against this particular city now, and that is the mart of the nations. And certainly there, as it is described for us, will be weeping over the fall of this particular state or place. And Tarshish, as it's mentioned here, is that just the outlying regions around the Mediterranean. And it might even have reference farther than that. But here the city that is the mart of the nations, or the trading place of the world, God is going to speak against and bring it to naught. Now, as it unfolds in history, that's very true. My understanding that today in this very site where this great world power was, there are just a few wooden huts and not a whole lot goes on. Literally gone and destroyed as far as history is concerned. And certainly you can rest assured that one day God is going to bring this world and its system of economics to naught. That all of the things that seem to be pronounced and prominent and important will cease to be very important at all. And the light of God's presence. So let's just look at a few things here. I would remind you that there are other places that this place and prophecies are raised against this city. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 26, 27, 28, deal extensively with this same city. There it is referred to as Babylon making the attack, and actually Babylon is the conquering power to start with, even though Tyre will survive that particular 70 years, the same lapse of time that Israel would be in captivity. Later on, she'll be totally consumed. But at the time now that Isaiah is writing, we are dealing with a very prominent world power. A city that has actually colonized and reached out. When we look back in history, there are certain empires and nations that have had their day of colonialism. Britain, for example. And it's amazing how little that actually Britain holds today, having been a world power as it was in days gone by. Certainly the days of colonialism, the United States of America, of course, came out of their colonialism. Canada, Hong Kong, it went into the Orient. So on the continent of Africa, Britain was very powerful. So there are days of colonialism in various empires, and Tyre was a state of colonialism. Actually, it was an extension of itself as it reached out into various places. Likely it did deal with the British Isles at this time. It dealt in the area that we know as Spain today. Northern Africa, Egypt, all of these particular places in the world, and wherever there was an industry that could be developed, Tyre had a hand in it. So it is a world power, and here God is going to say some things against it. First of all, in verses 1 through 5, we notice that it's going to be destroyed. I am thankful today that the Word of God teaches that this world, with all of its lust, will pass away one day. World powers are going to cease in whatever form, as we know of Egypt and its slavery, and Babylon and its religion, and Tyre and its merchandise. It's all going to disappear. That God's going to set up His kingdom, that is the superseding kingdom of all kingdoms. But this particular city and city-state is going to be destroyed. We'll notice in verse one that it's laid waste. It's literally just ceases to be. We sometimes apply and associate with a world power the idea of impossibility of destruction, but they are capable of falling. We need to always keep that in mind. I think there is a misunderstanding among the people of the United States of America today that is very tragic. They think that we cannot fall, that we become invincible, but that's not the case. The Romans felt the same way. The Greeks felt the same way. Most world empires feel that way, that they are invincible, but yet they are brought to naught. And here, Tyre was of the same persuasion, holding sway over the known world. Money does move, and certainly hold sway over nations, and in this particular case, here's a powerful people. But God said it will be laid waste, and He points out that at the time of its fall, there'll be ships out in the sea that'll have no port to come to. In verse 1 again, we'll notice that He said that there is no house, no entering in from the land of Chittim, which is Cyprus, another particular island empire, and it is revealed to these ships as they make their way past Cyprus that there is nowhere to go. There is no port now that is left. Again, in the days of Isaiah when he wrote, there were actually two particular locations for Tyre. One was on the mainland, but the main structure of prominence and importance was on an island. It was put there by the thinker so that it would be defendable. And it was very easily defended because it was surrounded by water. Of course, Tyre had its own navy, therefore it was able to defend at the sea, but it made a land army very difficult to get to it. Two sieges and two different nations and empires made attack against it and filled in the water body in between the land city and the isle city, and today it's the solid structure. Babylon, they somewhat filled it in so that they could raise their arms against it. And then later, Alexander the Great would complete the task, and through the years it is silted in and filled up, and it's come one. But and you'll notice in our text or in the context here that it's spoken of as an isle in the sea. At the time that Isaiah wrote, there was an island as such off of the mainland that held the capital city or the prominent city of Tyre. And so as the ships come in, there is no place for them to return. Again, in this particular text, that it is said that the mart of the nations. I might, if you would, just turn over to the 27th chapter of the book of Ezekiel for a moment so that we could see the influence that this particular city did have over the nations. In the book of Ezekiel 27, we'll not try to read the chapter's entirety, but if you would, you'd notice that there are a lot of particular nations that are mentioned. For example, in verse 3 it said, "And say unto Tyrus, O thou that art situated at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people for many isles, thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am a perfect beauty. Thy borders are the midst of the seas, thy builders have perfected thy beauty. They have made all thy shipboards of fir trees of Sinar. They have taken cedars from Lebanon." In verse 6, the oaks of Bashan and the Asherites are mentioned here. The fine linen work comes from Egypt. And you can just read on through this chapter 27 of the book of Ezekiel, and you'll find that from all over the world, there were people that came and traded here, and they brought their wares to this particular place. So it is then certainly a market for the world. And yet she will become as though just childless, not raising up anybody. In other words, it's going to have an end. This is the idea of the prophet. As he said in verse 4, "Nor bring up bring forth children, neither thou nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins." In other words, this city is going to become as though childless, even though she has put out her colonies all over the known world at the time. She'll be as though she was a childless woman. And the world will certainly feel the pain. As, remember, Isaiah mentioned that There was great pain for the prophecies against Egypt. So there will be great pain here at the report again of this particular city that falls. As the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. So we see then that the Lord said that this particular city is going to be destroyed. Now, the next question that is raised, or the question now that is raised is, who will do this? There is a good question when it comes to this. The truth of the matter is that it's been said, and probably true, that there are about 7 families that basically control the finances of the world, that have a great hand in it. And it seems like that these powers that be cannot be squashed. Of course, from my country viewpoint, I sometimes wonder why companies still stand that stand. Mitsubishi, the Japanese company, they made a lot of the war machines that took the lives of our men in World War II, and yet here it is still a renowned company. I wonder why. But it's because of economics and the finances of the world. It's a strange thing that there are certain institutions that even though a nation falls, they'll still exist. And why? Money. That's the driving force. We have to look at it. Well, here, since Tyre is such a world empire, such an influence on the entire world, who would dare to raise up a hand against it? The Lord will. Look at these verses now in verses 6 through 9. He said, "As pass over to Tarshish, howl ye inhabitants of the isle. Is this your joyous city whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. Who hath taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth?" The answer of verse 9 said, "The Lord of hosts hath purposed it, to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth." Well, here's a city now that comes out of antiquity. Actually, it's hard to just put a finger on the exact time of the beginning of this particular city and this power. She comes out of antiquity. She's lasted through the years. Who would have the audacity? Who would dare to lift up a hand against her? Well, we certainly see that the Lord will. Here, even though she's had ancient beginnings, she's very powerful with her colonies. The men of Tyrus are honorable as far as the world is concerned, and they're great men. And if I might digress again, and you bear with me in this. The world's measurement of men is far different than the measurement of God as far as men are concerned. Always keep that in mind. This world will always look at men as great that were powerful. They might have been cruel. They may have been extremely wicked in one sense, but the world will call them great because they were powerful. The world would look back on men such as Alexander the Great and they say he was a great man. Well, in one sense he was, but I think he was a fool. I believe the Word of God bears that out. The Word of God teaches that if a man gives himself to drink, that he's a fool. And this man, Alexander the Great, drank himself to death at an early age. So what God says about a man and what the world says about a man is different. Always keep that in mind. The world will say, unless you have built your great monuments and built your empires, you're not great. But I'm persuaded that God looks at it in the light of how you looked at him and your faith in the Lord. Somehow or another in my mind, I think that that widow that walked by that cast in the 2 mites into the treasury is going to have a very prominent place in heaven. The world will say, that's nothing. And she's nothing. And as far as their standards are concerned, they're right. But in God's sight and by his standards, it's a different story. And so we need to always keep that in mind. But here, from a worldly standpoint, and Isaiah sees it in the light of where it stands in the world as an influence. He said, all of them, merchants are princes and their traffickers are the honorable of the earth. In other words, those that hold power. But he said, the Lord of hosts hath purposed this. The God will take his stand against this nation, and we can rest assured that God will take his stand against the nations of this world. There's going to be an army together one day against the city of Jerusalem. And it looked like that army is just going to sweep the world. But who will stand against it? It'll be the Lord. The Lord of hosts will purpose it. Always keep in mind, from our vantage point, that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. It makes no difference what this world says or what this world does. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us and died for us on Calvary's cross. We're standing on the side of the one who is victorious. And so the Lord of hosts has purposes. Now He's in His purpose, He's opposing the pride of this world. Remember, the Lord said, if you want to be great to His disciples, you'll have to serve. The world says, if you're going to be great, you'll have to conquer. But Jesus said, you'll have to serve. On the other hand, the Lord said, if you want life, you'll have to die to self. And the world says, if you want to live, then you grasp and get all you can. Everything is contrasted and contrary in the viewpoint of the world and the viewpoint of God. So always keep in mind that God will take His stand against the pride of this world. Always we have to try to seem to save face for people and the powers that be in this world. If I might just speak from a historical standpoint, World War II, the United States could have gone on into Berlin and taken Germany, but she stepped back so that Russia could take the place of prominence and prestige and looked like the victors, trying to save face for a people that did not have the ability to do it. Now, I don't speak from the standpoint of pride for our nation, but truth's truth. And yet, God says He'll bring that pride to naught. It'll mean nothing one day. You have people that stand in great arrogance today. And if I might say it, I know I'm digressing somewhat, but Hollywood has its pride today. I heard a fellow make a boast one time that there were certain persons that he liked to make fun of. He named a few leading personalities, and then he named Jesus Christ. There are certain ones that I have absolutely no use for. They blaspheme the person of Jesus Christ, belittle and malign that precious person and His name. And they do it with arrogance and pride as though they were somebody. But God will bring to naught the pride of this world one day. Who will dare to lift up their hand against such a power as Tyre? Well, God will. The Lord of hosts, He said He would. He'll oppose the pride and He'll remove the glory that this world offers. You'll find that among those in that day when the Lord is coming and these worldlings that have opposed God who began to cry out and ask the mountains to cover them and hide them from the face of the one that's coming, among them will be the great of this world. And when you stand on the right side at the great white throne and look on the other side at those that are standing before God, John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Every one of them. God removes the glory from this world. Men live for, and women live for, just that moment of glory. They'll give their very souls for the glory of the moment in this world, but I present to you the fact that God will bring it to naught. It'll mean absolutely nothing. Can you imagine that person in hell today that gave their all for this world, what it really means today? I think that rich man in hell in just a few seconds fully realized the mistake of his life. I am persuaded that he, if had opportunity, would look at it totally in a different light today. There will be no atheists in hell, by the way. They'll all understand that God is, and that He has put down the glory of this world and brought it to naught. And so we see a city and an empire of pride that God brings to naught. He lifts His hand against it to oppose their pride and remove their glory. Therefore, it behooves us to find out what will be glorious. And to stand in that army of the Lord and stand on His side, that will be glory. As the songwriter said, that will be glory for me. And so I present to you the fact that the one who dares to oppose this world is none other than the Lord Himself. Now, after this particular city is destroyed, we'll notice in verses 10 through 12 that the strength is gone and the pride is gone. Everything is brought to naught, and it's going to stand this particular situation for 70 years, and then God will do a work again in this particular place and raise her back up. Let's read through these verses again. It said, "Pass through thy land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish, there is no more strength." In other words, just pass through and take a look at what God has done to you. And he says, "Stretched out his hand over the sea, shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. And he said, Thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin, daughter of Zidon. Arise, pass over to Chittim. There also shalt thou have no rest. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans, this is a people, or this people was not till this year and founded it. For them that dwell in the wilderness, they set up the towers thereof, they raised up the palaces thereof. He brought it to ruin." In other words, he says, you're brought to ruin by, again, the Chaldeans. If we looked in Ezekiel 26, we understand that it is the Babylonians that are being raised up against this particular city as the instrument in the hand of God to bring it to naught. And so, but he's saying to them, just evaluate and walk through your land after God's through with it and see what's done. He points out in verse 14, said, "How you ship to Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste, that which was beautiful and compelling now and magnetic to the merchants of the world, it's not brought to naught. It shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years. Again, the same 70 years will run parallel with that, that Israel is in captivity. And at the end of that time, Tyre will begin to arise again. And there is a simile here that is used so that we'd understand it. Cities sometimes, as they are destroyed, have a way of raising and rising back up to the same power and sin even that they held before. If I might digress a moment and mention Corinth, a city that was absolutely destroyed, lay destroyed and dormant for about 100 years, a little better. And then it was rebuilt, but it was raised up with the same sense of immorality that it held before. And so Tyre will, in this sense, after the 70 years now, will begin to be raised up. The city is spoken of here as being a harlot that plied her wares in the world. And it will be presented again in verse 16. It said, "Take an harp, go about the city. Thou harlot that hast been forgotten, make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered." In other words, begin to try to advertise again and regain your world power and your glory that you had before. And she will do that. And it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre. She shall return to her hire and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. Well, she will be returned to a measure of that power that she had before after that 70 years. Now, when we look at it in history, the Babylonians did take it. And it's in various places spoken of. Nebuchadnezzar laid siege against this city. He went away without a reward, it's said in the Word of God, because Tyre had actually moved their wares and the wealth away by ship. So he did not get the reward that he thought he would get, but she is brought to naught, and in these 70 years does not stand. But as even the harlot that now tries to pick up her trade again, she plays her music and advertises, and it will be raised to power. Well, this went on, of course, for a time, but Alexander would lay siege against it at a later time. The crusaders would come somewhere in the 12th century and conquer this city, and it literally disappears as a world power, except in a day that is yet to come. It will be raised up once again, but it will be raised up this time for the glory of God and for the sake of those that are the children of God. Now, there is a passage over in the book of Proverbs that said the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. I believe that God's going to one day take Tyre and will supply the children of God from this place. You talk about God having honor to himself. He dares to raise up his hand against the world power and will do so with success, bring it to naught, but his word will be fulfilled. And there are a lot of things in this world today that are an honor unto themselves and to the world. But God will have his day. you rest assured of that, that God will have his day and the honor will him. Look at verse 18. Her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. One day the same power that God has said he will bring down will be raised up, but it will be raised up for a different purpose. I believe today that we live in a world and there's a world system that lives and moves for itself, but one day it'll move for the glory of the Lord. There are world powers today that be, but in the day that our Lord rules and reigns in righteousness on this earth, all of the world will do obeisance to him. We'll study that later in this same book. I'll make reference to it now. That all of the nations have to come at a prescribed time and do obeisance and give homage to the Lord who sits upon his throne. Always understand, and I think that if we would learn anything of this particular from this particular lesson today, that God will not be persuaded otherwise, but he'll purpose and he'll accomplish his purpose as far as the world system is concerned. Now again, there's a lot of glitter, there's a lot of tinsel and tinfoil that glitters and sparkles in this world today. And men give their lives for it. They give their very souls for it. But Jesus said, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I want you to understand that I am persuaded that there is a glory that belongs to God and that we can enjoy that benefit of his glory if we stand in the right place today. God is not afraid to take on these world powers, the powers that be. It seems like there are some men that are extremely powerful at various times in the world. I can't even recall the insane man's name now, but he's in Uganda. Had the audacity to stand to literally annihilate whole villages on the continent of Africa in the country of Uganda because they were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet that man has been brought down. God will bring these mighty powers down and these men of their noble pride to bring it to naught. As he did Tyrus here. Here was a people that were looked upon as world's princes. The traffickers were glorious as far as this world, great men as far as this world is concerned, mighty men of power. But God said, I'll dare raise my hand against them. You always rest assured when you stand with the Lord, you're standing on the right side. There are nations that will move their armies against the Lord and his children. One day Jerusalem will be surrounded by that army that says we'll destroy her. Well, this time we will push her into the sea. But there will come the Lord of glory riding upon his horse, the name on his thigh written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will put down and subdue that army. He will literally squash that army until the blood runs to the bridle on the horses in the valley of Megiddo. I present to you again one who is in control, who dares to oppose the world system. We see it today. There's encroachment. Every effort made to encroach on the things of the kingdom of God. You read it in the papers that come our way as efforts are made. I was just listening the other day. A particular city had the gall to pass an ordinance against having prayer meetings in the home. I'll tell you what. You talk about arrogance and pride. They only did that against prayer meetings. You could have a drunken brawl, I guess, every night. See, but they dare lift up their hand against God. But one day, God lift up his hand against them and bring them to naught. You rest assured of it. Tyre would no doubt have said, like a lot of other empires before her, we're invincible. We're here to stay. God said, no, you're not here to stay. I'll show you you're not. And when it's all said and done, he said, I'll even take that wealth of yours and feed my children with it. And I'll supply their need. Well, I hope you see that God is great today. He's greater than this world and this world system. The influences of this world, I realize that by and large, from a standpoint of power, the world can come and take almost everything we have. But they can't take our soul. And one day, he'll bring all of that glory to naught. And they'll have to do obeisance to him. For the Bible said, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. And that means that those that stand before that great white throne that day, they'll confess until God's satisfied. It won't be a half-hearted subjection and a confession, but they'll confess that Jesus Christ is Lord until the Father himself is satisfied. So I present to you the fact that God will oppose their pride and remove the glory of this world in one day. All right, I've covered the lesson this morning.